We haven't taught out of the Old Testament for a little bit. And, you know, I want to be balanced. You know, you have to have so many running plays and so many passing plays. Got to have balance. Hallelujah. But Isaiah 55, this came up in my spirit because the other day I just said something just totally just by the spirit, but I said... To a couple guys that you know, when he spoke about my thoughts are greater than your thoughts, I said that was actually an invitation. You know, sometimes we can hear it like an indictment. We can hear it like a judgment. We can hear it like, you know, like you used to do when you're kids, you know, nan, 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 boo, boo, you can't. He got it. You can hear it in lots of ways, but see, what it actually was an invitation for us to come up, an invitation for us to come in, an invitation for us to see what he actually, who he actually is and what he actually thinks like. It was an invitation for us to come to know him. And this is actually, as I looked at it, as this whole chapter, it is actually a celebration. It's a celebration that he's already created for us. It's a messianic picture. It's a picture of who Christ would be and what would become available to us. Because he's speaking in Isaiah 55, he's speaking to people who are in exile. They're in captivity, but they will be released, and he's speaking to them about that release. Isaiah, for the first 39 chapters, I believe it was speaking about things that were happening in his time. Then, and from 40 on, he began to speak about things that were going to happen in another time. Some of those things were going to be immediately happening, but also other things were really the part of the messianic picture that God was laying out so we could recognize who Christ is. And so, very first thing here, let's go to this chapter, or verse 1. And he just says, "Ho! Ho! Ho!" It always used to bug me when people would do that in service, so I just had to do it. So. I don't know why. But basically, it's just a matter of getting your attention. Ho! I have something to say. And so everyone who thirsts comes to the waters. You have money, you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk and without money and without cost. What he's releasing here is the picture of grace. It's the picture of grace. In other words, without cost, you're going to be redeemed without you being able to pay that price, because you don't have the ability to pay that price. You're going to have a place of redemption, and it comes simply because I'm choosing to give it, to release it to you. It's coming because it's in my heart to put it upon you, for you to enjoy it. He says, to everyone. Isn't that what he said? Let's see. Everyone who thirsts, come to the water. How many? Everyone. Just the people in Israel? Just the people in Africa? Everyone. The people in Father's house? Everyone. Yes. Because, see, it's important for us to recognize we can have as much of God as we want. We can have as much of his redemption as we want. We can have as much of his glory as we want. We can step in and have as much of who he is as we want. We have to step into it. We have to begin to say, I'm a thirst for it. I'm a hunger for it. I want it. And as I begin to recognize that I want it, he will make a way for it to happen so we can step into this grace with him. It comes by mercy. It comes by grace. Not because we earned it, because like Carlos was saying earlier, that was really a great prelude. You know, we can't earn it, but it's his design. It was his design from long before it even occurred, long before even Christ showed up on the scene. He's speaking here about what you're going to have available to you. But it's available to everyone. You know, it's available to you when you were lost. All those years that I ran around doing things I wasn't supposed to be doing. All those years that I was testing the waters, it was still available to me. I mean, that to me is something to be celebrated. And see, and as it goes on there, he goes on to say, why do you spend money for that which is not bread and your wages for that which does not satisfy? In other words, when you begin to delve into the world system, you're partaking of things that will never fill you up. But if you'll take of what I'm offering, that's the thing that will actually satisfy your soul. That's the thing that will actually satisfy your situation. He began to realize, let me just back up for 1 second. Charles Parham, the guy who was the foundation of the Pentecostal movement, the guy who basically was a pioneer with tongues and all that happened from that, he basically used this verse. He began to realize not only was the blood enough to pay for his salvation, the blood would pay for his healing too. But he didn't stop there. He also began to realize that the blood was there to pay for our provision as well. And he had a magazine called, I believe it was Apostolic Faith. And he, at one point in time, he had charged a subscription price to that magazine. And then after a while, he just printed on the bottom of that, Isaiah 55:1. No subscription price. Isaiah 55:1. Because what he was referring them to, what he wanted them to understand was that his belief system was that anybody who comes to understand the magnificence of this grace that we've been given, the fullness of that grace that we've been given, will actually want to respond in that same love and the same benevolence and actually give probably as much or more than they would have otherwise for that subscription. He began to see and recognize that we can operate by faith even when it comes to provision. See, that's something God has set out there for each and every one of us in our lives. And sometimes we look in that, we relegate that to the lives of preachers, right, Brian? But it's not. It's for everybody. He has a plan and a purpose in your life. He wants you to understand God's provision for you may look a little different, but it's still there by faith. By faith, you can step into an opportunity. Right, Rosalinda? Things change by faith. Why? Because you're stepping into what's been given. You're stepping into the fullness of what grace has been provided because of the blood, because of the redemption, because of the things that God had already provided for you. And so this chapter is speaking about that. Hallelujah. So incline your ear and come to me, he says in verse 3. Verse 2. He says, listen carefully to me and eat what is good and delight yourself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me and listen to that you may live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you according to the faithful mercies shown to David. In other words, he already had established, they were well aware of the covenant that was made with David, that there would never lack for someone to be on the throne. They were aware of how God had shown on his life and provided over his life and the generations that had happened since. See, that's one of the things that needs to happen and shift in our thinking. Our looking at God and understanding of his blessing, it's not limited to just us. Abraham, when God came to him in Genesis 15, he was speaking to him of a blessing that would be released, and his first thought was, what about my generations? Because see, he was looking and expecting a generational blessing and a generational inheritance to be released. He was already a wealthy man. He had 318 guys with him who could actually carry a sword. That means there was more than 318 guys with him. He was already, that's a pretty nice size enterprise. I made a real nice living with four people, okay? We can make a whole lot better, more of an enterprise if you have 318 people working for you. But he had more than 318 because you don't have 318 people who can carry a sword, because each one of those carries a sword also needs somebody else with them to carry the rest of the stuff. Their armor bearer. See, that's what God did. That's what God. Ho! That's what God. That's why God wants to, you know, he wants to shift out of this mentality of, I just want to get by today. I just want to get by today. Because see, if I shift out of mentality of just get by today, I can now shift into a generational inheritance, a generational blessing, something that changes not just me, but everything around me. Abraham was changing things around him. Isaiah, with his words, was changing things not just for him and his generation, but he was planting the seed for generations afterwards. Sometimes all we have to do, like Cheryl brought out this morning, was all we have to do is just hear God and obey. See, Jonah, when Jonah went and basically preached to the Ninevites, Jonah wasn't very willing. He had a really bad attitude. But he did it still. And because he did it, now God's plan was set in motion. Because these same people who repented at the preaching of one man stood as a testimony over Israel 100 years later when they same group of people had to carry them off. See, something that somebody put in action simply out of obedience. He didn't understand what the end result of that was going to be. But God did. But God did. See, there was a generational inheritance that was already being moved into place. Sometimes the things that you're doing will affect many, many, many that you'll never see. I remember when I had a little meltdown with the Lord, okay? And in this part of this meltdown, you know, basically he visited me. And in this interface with him, I really at that moment didn't know if I was alive or dead, because I was enveloped in this encounter to such a degree that I really couldn't tell. But as I was in what he began to do, he began to reveal my heart, because see, it's the issues of the heart that are most important. It's the issues of the heart that make the most difference. It's the attitude of the heart that he's really looking for. Even if you're doing something wrong, and he showed me several things that I had done wrong, but I did it with the right heart. And it pleased him in spite of the fact it was never his intention. But he also showed me some things that I did that looked really, really good, that everybody would be patting me on the back for. But I did it with a wrong heart. And because I did it with the wrong heart, I need to move away from this. But because I did it with the wrong heart, he showed me this, you know, that was a disappointment. Now, it's interesting because, see, I was aware, I never felt condemned. I did feel convicted. But the one of the things that was stuck with me the most was because he began to show me all the people that I was affecting, even though I never saw most of those people. Because, see, my biggest complaint at that particular time was I was working 50 hours at work, and then I was doing all my other normal life, plus I was spending probably 15 to 20 hours a week counseling somebody. I had zero time for myself, and at this point in time, I was just tired. Because, see, I had lost focus about why we were doing it. And so, because of that, when you start doing it for yourself, you get burned out. If you're doing it for God, and truly for God, there's no burnout. There's just a grace. That's a great word, Victoria Grace. There's grace that's released in that process. But see, I was past the place of grace because I had lost sight of why we were doing it. And I would come home and I would look at the siding on my house that was literally falling off and I would be mad. And then I was like, okay, God, where is this? What's this about? And he showed me how it, when I prayed for this one person and I released something into their life, and they went to work and they released something into their boss's life, and that person went home and he released something to his wife, who then contacted somebody else and who contacted somebody else. And he showed me a chain of events that went all around the world, and I never knew anything about any of it except the one person that I prayed with. See, what you do can have eternal benefit. It's not up to us to decide what it is that we're doing. It's up to us to just speak and release who God and what God has said in this moment, and then leave the rest of it in his hands, knowing that it's going to have an eternal effect. See, when we're no longer just looking for something to be reflected today, but we begin to have an eternal destiny look, an eternal destiny perspective. I got way ahead of myself here. It changes everything. Hallelujah. Hope that helps somebody. It doesn't matter what part of the, what stage you're at. If you're burned out and disappointed, check your motive. Check yourself. Because you can't get burned out giving love when it comes from him. Amen? Amen. That wasn't where I was going, but it's a good thing. So here, let's just jump down, because verse 6, seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he's near. When is that? All the time. All the time. He can be found all the time. Sometimes our emotion gets in the way. Sometimes our head gets in the way. But he's always there. He can always be found. If we will be willing to just unload whatever it is that gets in the way. Hallelujah. This is why he's begin. Here's, see. Verse 7, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways. And my thoughts than your thoughts. We quote that often. We quote that a lot. I mean, we don't recognize it's an invitation to step in and be with him. It's an invitation to step out of what we were and into who he's calling us to be. It's an invitation to step out of a worldly perspective that only sees what's in it for me and mine, and begins to have a heavenly perspective about what can I do to serve the kingdom? What can I do to be who you've called me to be? What can I do to step up where you have already provided for me? It's his desire. It's his desire to change us. It's his desire to rock our world so that we'll let go of the old man and step in and become the new creation that we were created to be. Hallelujah. See, when we lock in on his thoughts, when we begin to recognize his thoughts are actually available to us. You know, what did Moses say? He said, teach me your ways. You know? Teach me your ways, that I might know you. That I may find what? Grace in your sight. There's increase the more that we know him. The more that we know him, there's always going to be a resulting increase in our life. Moses spoke that when he had already done all the things that he was going to do in Egypt, and then already was leading the people around in the desert and working towards the next step. He had already accomplished many, many things. Yet he said, teach me your ways. Because he knew increase was in that. He knew that the favor of God was with him when he did that. See, it's time for us to seek out his ways. Verse 10 says, "For the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there without watering the earth, making it bear and sprout, furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater. And so shall my word be which goes forth from my mouth, and it shall not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it." There's a whole difference when we start looking and doing, seeing and speaking what the Lord is speaking. When we start seeing things from his perspective, when I begin to look from eternal perspective, my things of today fade away. The little annoyances that we all deal with are no longer even relevant. You know, the Japanese have a 5-week plan, a 5-month plan, a 5-year plan, a 50-year plan. They plan everything out. Why? Because they understand that if I plan it far enough out, I am not moved by what happens today. See, if our stock market did that, you would see companies act very differently. If they were actually operating on a 5-year plan and a 10-year plan and a 15-year plan, instead they're responding to what the stock market says on an almost weekly basis. And so the companies wind up doing things that aren't healthy for them over the long term in order to meet today's need. But I can tell you in a relationship, and this is what he's establishing here, in a relationship is always going to be based on the long term. And that means that whatever happened today that interrupted my way, whatever happened today, that little pebble that got in my shoe or whatever was going on, I can overlook that and says I'm going somewhere. Because on the way, I have a target. On the way, I have a goal. On the way, I have a vision. And when I begin to look from his vision instead of my vision, it changes things. Our vision wants to do what benefit, I mean, if I'm involved in self, it wants to just do what feels good today. But that's not his way. See, addiction happens because we're busy trying to satisfy something that can never be satisfied. And it's all about today. When I've worked with people with addiction, they can't see next week even, much less next year or next the year after. When you have to shift from seeing things that way into seeing the way he sees. Because if we see it just for about what's going to benefit today, we will, like those other companies, we'll make decisions that never get us to the end result. Simply because we're looking in the wrong place. Sometimes it's easy to give in to temptations today when we don't see the purpose of the vision that was out there. Amen? What he's talking about here when he said this rain that comes down and waters the earth and makes it bear and sprout. I don't know about you guys, I don't know, but I remember when we were in school, they taught us about that cycle. The cycle. See, when the rain comes down, then it begins to water the plants, the trees, the grass. And as it begins to, that water gets absorbed into those things, then through the process of evaporation, it's released back into the heavens. But in the process, it brought life everywhere that it touched. You see the difference in a desert where when water comes to a desert, all of a sudden life springs up where there was no life. But if you take the water away, it doesn't take long for the life to go away. The Sahara Desert, they say, was a lush garden at one time, but the water went away. And now we have just thousands and thousands of acres that are just dry. But if you bring the water back, the lush garden comes back. See, it's a cycle of life. And he's talking about in this cycle, there's bread for the eating and there's seed for the sowing. In other words, that's the generational inheritance. Seed for sowing is a generational inheritance. There's things that you have need of today that are, and that's the bread for eating. But seeing there are other things that are being laid up for a future time and a future event and a future situation. That's the bread, that's the seed for sowing. And if we recognize which one it is that we have in our hand, now we've come to thinking like him. It's his desire to cause us to think the way he is about what it is that's in our hand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, when he's speaking about his word, what is word? What is a word? A word is a product of your thought. You don't utter a word until you first think it. It's a product of how you think. And you want to see how you think? Smash your finger with a hammer. Let's see how you think. I can remember the first time that I smashed my finger with a hammer after I got saved, and I didn't say something. And I was just standing there just looking. And I was like amazed because that had never happened before. I didn't know that it was actually possible to do those things without something else coming out. So you begin to change the way you think. You begin to change the way you think. Because it's oftentimes how we think is structured. Basically, how we think, how we believe, okay, is going to affect everything about what we do. If we see ourselves from God's perspective, we're going to release from God's perspective. If we see ourselves as insignificant, then we'll never step out on what he's actually asked and prompted us to do. If we see ourselves as not good enough, then we're always searching to make ourselves good enough some way. But if we'll recognize and see what he's already promised and already released, now we can start seeing ourselves in a way that he's seeing us, and we release out of that, and we'll interact with the world around us out of that. Instead of the old nature. Hallelujah. It's a product of our thought. Let me just go down here because. See, for you will go out, verse 12. For you will go out with joy and be led forth with peace. He's speaking to a people who are in captivity, remember. But he's also speaking to us. I've already provided for you to go out with joy. Whatever bondage you were under, whatever issue you're under, I provided for you to go out with joy and be led forth with peace. That should be good news for somebody. And the mountains and hills will break forth into shouts of joy before you. Hey, I want to see this. And all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush, the cypress will come up. Instead of the nettle, the myrtle will come up. And it will be a memorial. In other words, it's an everlasting testimony to the Lord. He's the one who has setting it as an everlasting memorial. In other words, what he's talking about here is when we begin to understand what these things are, he's talking about, I want to take you out of the product of the fall. See, the thorns and the nettles represent what happened as a result of sin and sin's effect in the world. Sin and sin's effect caused the ground to produce thorns and nettles, which are all unpleasant. The whole thing of having of working and striving in the sweat of the brow was all a product of the fall. He says, I'm taking you out of those things. I'm bringing you in to the blessing. Let me just read to you. Because see, it actually says the cypress will come up. Instead of the thorn bush, the cypress will come up. Instead of the nettle, the myrtle will come up. Let me just read to you what a cypress is. A cypress is tall, and it's used for the planking of the temple. It's used to wood. It's what the temple was built out of. It was the foundation for it. It's used to build the ships that send people out for provision and bring back the things from the far lands. And it's used for making worship instruments out of. See, the cypress is a symbol of death, life, and resurrection. And signifies heaven calling. Signifies heaven calling. So when he's saying, "This is the things I'm going to place in your life," he's saying, "I'm going to create a tabernacle around you. I'm going to create a tabernacle around you, and I'm going to add to you the provision that is necessary. And you're going to know that it's me calling in your life." It's an everlasting covenant, he said. He said, "It will be a memorial to the Lord." The myrtle was used to create booths in the Feast of Tabernacles. It was used to create the booths, and it was prized for its oil. But the myrtle also is a symbol of love and marriage, a symbol of fruitfulness. In other words, I'm going to draw you out, and I'm going to cover you, and I'm going to cause you to be fruitful in this covenant that I make with you. I'm going to make this covenant with you that draws you into me, into a deep intimacy. And out of that comes a fruitfulness in your life. And that's my promise. If you'll just simply allow my thoughts to become your thoughts, if you'll allow your thoughts to be laid down and to begin to call and invite my thoughts into your life. And as you begin to allow his thoughts into your life, you begin to set and recognize he's setting before you. He establishes a covenant with you that cannot be broken. It's his desire to raise us up. It was his call to bring us in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, when he's dealing with the bread, the seed for sowing and the bread for eating, he's giving you immediate blessing, but also sowing for a future blessing. He's giving us both. It's not just about what we're doing today. It's also what he's planting and creating for us the ability to plant for tomorrow. Hallelujah. Our thoughts aligning with his thoughts. Our lives aligning with his life. Our hope aligning with his hope. Our future aligning with his future. Because we know he's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. When we align with the guy who's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, we're aligning with something that cannot be changed. Hallelujah. Shandabokubo. What he's basically telling us, the culture of heaven is being made available. We used that last Wednesday night, but it's the culture of heaven that's being made available. Why? Because he's going to speak and see from a heavenly perspective. He's not worried or concerned about an earthly perspective. He's not worried and concerned about the things that generally concern us, because we get so wrapped up in trying to just feed ourselves and deal with the things that are around us. But he's going to release into our life out of a heavenly perspective. And so we'll allow our thought to be like his thought. We'll be able to operate in the fullness of that heavenly perspective and everything that it represents. Because healing is there. Just like Parham found, healing is there, provision's there, relationships there, love and acceptance is there, the security is that you need is there. All it requires is for us to let go of something that wasn't helping us in the first place. In my life, I had to recognize that certain things weren't my friend. When I began to see, because I had always invited anger and rage, because that's what I saw. But then I had to come to a day where I recognized this thing's not my friend. It's not helping me. It's not causing anything good for me, even though for a period of time I believed it did, but it wasn't helping me. So then I had to break agreement with that. That's an example of what we're talking about, leaving our thoughts behind and looking into his thoughts. Because he already knew that long before I adopted the wrong thought. He's just waiting for me to catch on. Let's all catch on, okay? Yes. Amen. God bless you.